Welcome to episode 87 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy and Lindsay, and we are once again joined by our engineer and editor, Heidi. This week, Outlander Travel is embracing its literary roots. You may remember me referring to my previous life as a librarian, and you may also remember Heidi is still working in public libraries as well. This week, I've invited some of my literary-minded librarian squad, or my squad now, I made that up, to discuss how books can inspire travel and how we can help you create itineraries that allow you to visit some of your favorite settings. Janet has worked for over 20 years as a librarian. During that time, she's had various roles, leading book clubs, answering reference questions, helping children with their schoolwork, and recommending books for purchase. And then there's her favorite task, helping people find a good book to read. Dan has worked connecting people and books for over 20 years in both bookstores and public libraries. He is the adult services manager at West Regional Library here in North Carolina in the Raleigh-Durham area. And he co-manages programs for the library system around recreational reading, which means reading for fun, including author visits. So let's get started. So I sort of asked you guys to here today because travel and reading goes really well together. And a lot of people who are well-traveled are well-read and vice versa. It's sort of the two bring out the best in each other. And I know from my previous life that there are many reasons that people choose certain types of books. One of them is place. Can you talk a little bit about those types of books and sort of how we generally classify books for interest levels?
Sure. There's basically four different appeal factors. One is the story or the plot, the setting or the place, the tone, the writing style, and the characters. So those are the four things that we look at when determining books to suggest to people.
And books will have all four of those things, obviously, but in general, some books will lean more heavily toward character development. Others may focus more on the plot. So can you give examples of some of the different, we're going to talk mostly about place, but can you give an example of an author who really focuses on character versus an author who really focuses on one of the other appeal factors? Let's say language. Let's start with that one.
Well, somebody who focuses on language is somebody like John DeLillo. Somebody who focuses on plot is someone like James Patterson. And then you have people who bring in location almost as a character. So somebody like Tony Hillerman does a really good job with place. Their writing is often referred to as atmospheric. That's always a good clue that you're going to read someone that's going to can follow it.
Yeah, I was telling Heidi not long ago that Pillars of the Earth is like one of my favorite books. I've read it over and over.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about when you're about to travel, what do you recommend people do as far as choosing their reading list, preparing for a trip, wherever they're going?
Well, just as when you're preparing to travel, you're going to contact your local travel agents, hopefully out because they can do the research and they know the industry. Contact your book experts, go to your library and talk to your librarians. A lot of libraries have a sort of customized book list service where you can fill out a form. And if they don't, you can just go to there, ask a librarian or contact us and say, you know, we're traveling to London, Paris, the Caribbean, wherever, and we want to read books set in that location. And you know, just as when you contact your travel agent, it's going to take them, you know, a week or so to get together, do their research and get a quote. Don't walk into the library and expect us to hand over a list, you know, on the spot. We can come up with a few suggestions right there, but give us a few days and we'll get you a really good list of books set in the location that you want to go.
One of the things that many public libraries can offer is an electronic resource called Novelist that indexes books by, I'm stumbling a little over this, by terms. So you can go in and say, I want fiction about Greece. And you can get even more specific and say, and I want a little romance in there. I want a little mystery in there. I want a little historical novel. Or if you have a book that someone finds for you and you go, wow, that's great, I wish I had some more, you can look that up in Novelist, see how it's classified, put little check marks in those boxes and find more books just like that.
Novelist is great because it's maintained by actual librarians who are behind the scenes making the recommendations. And so again, if you find that book that you like, You can look at the subject terms, as Janet said, but you can also, they will already have off to the side of the screen other read-alikes that they suggest
yes.
that are similar to that. So that's one of the reasons why we really love novelists in the library. And a lot of library subscribers are specifically created for libraries. So you'd have to go through your library's website to get to it. But there's other online resources to check out too. There's goodreads.com, which a lot of people know. You can just go into the browse, section at the top and click on lists and then put in any keyword you want and you'll come up with different lists. It's sort of the Wikipedia approach to Reader's Advisory because it's just all the different Goodreads users, who rated books and put them on lists.
And I'd like to add something about Goodreads there. I can't remember if it's under groups or communities, but you can go to the groups. There's one called Readers Advisory for All, which is moderated by the fabulous Karen, one of the top reviewers on Goodreads, and a librarian. Mm-hmm. And you can go in there and say, I'm looking for this kind of book. Can you recognize it?
And people actually throw out recommendations.
And people will throw things out and link you to it and give you to read about.
One of the things I use all the time on the desk is something called Literature Map. And it's a beta version, but it works fabulously. We can put a link in the show notes. You put an author name in, and it's a proximity map. So if you put in James Patterson, you're going to get authors that are similar to James Patterson, and the closer to his name visually that you're looking at is the closer to how it's been being that particular, these other writers are. That's incredibly helpful if you like future.
So with a name like novelist, is it only fiction, or is it also nonfiction?
Mostly fiction, but they do have nonfiction as well. They also have stuff for kids as well. So there's the adult novelist, but there's also novelist K through 8 for kids books. So if you're traveling as a family and you all want to read books at different age levels, you can do that too.
And then Goodreads would have every kind of book, yeah. Nonfiction, fiction, everything.
Yep, Goodreads has everything that Amazon has, basically. Another website specifically for looking for books set in locations is packabook.com. Just like it sounds, pack, like pack suitcase, a book. And they have all different countries and cities listed on the side. You can just click through and they have lists that they generated as well.
That is so cool. I had no idea. All this work is on
I told you. You would think it was cool.
Yeah. And the Rick Steves website also, if you drill down, he has lists of recommended books and movies. And he does fiction and nonfiction. And what I like about going to different sources is see which titles show up on all of them. And that may give you a clue as to which one people really feel gives you that experience of going to Paris.
And I think it's important to say, too, I mean, I like to read science fiction and fantasy, and I think when we think of place, we think in science and fiction and fantasy, those are only imaginary places or they're, you know, off in space, that there are books that can either read like fantasy, you know, maybe if you like fantasy, historical fiction would appeal, but reading for place doesn't always have to be a certain, like it's all, not only literary fiction. Yeah. Any, you know, when I went to the Caribbean, I read a romance while I was there and it was still, the place was very, very important to that romance. It probably was a little bit more integral to the book than, and in fact, the book was called The Reef. So it was about, you know, the coral reef. There was just a romance around it. It was Nora Roberts' book.
I love that.
So it's really good, actually.
Romance is very good at place. And it's funny that you brought up science fiction because I was trying to think of a book that made me go visit a place. And it was a science fiction book, Connie Willis's Lincoln's Dreams. I read that. I reread it. I got in the car and I went to Frederick.
That's cool.
Yeah, because it really made me want to visit where she was from.
Well, and some places do tours around books that have been written about places like that. I think there wasn't a tour around the Dan Brown book that was in Washington, D.C.
There's several. Well, not just D.C., in
London,
France,
and Paris.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have walking tours that you follow the whole route.
And there's this little book series called Outlander that you may have heard of.
Yeah.
And that's actually a pretty big industry. There are plenty of companies that actually do Outlander themed tours. And there's one here in North Carolina because one of the books is actually set a good part of it in North Carolina. So it's not just Scotland, but you know, pretty much anywhere you go that figured into that time in history has been covered and has a tour associated with it.
If you're interested in Scotland or the British Isles, there's tons of romance set there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I've read a lot of historical fiction about, like, Henry VIII, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. The woman that wrote, the Bowen, Philip the Bowen, Philip Gregory, she's, I've read a lot of her stuff. It makes me want to play England.
So while we're talking about the British Isles, let's talk about a little bit of that. I mean, do you have some other suggestions? That's obviously one of those places that gets written about a lot, has a huge literary history, has a huge history anyway. So do you have some of your favorites from different genres? Let's sort of try and hit all over the place.
Well, I'm a mystery reader. That's my favorite, and that's my comfort movie. So a lot of what I'll throw out is mysteries. For London, there's a series I think is underappreciated by Christopher Fowler. It's set in present day. It's the Peculiar Crimes Unit, run by these two unusual older guys, one of whom is obsessed with the history of London. So the cases always include a lot about the history and the geography of it.
Janet, you already mentioned Connie Willis. She's one of my favorites as well. I read a lot of science fiction fantasy. And she's known, one of her better known series is her Oxford Time Travel series. And whether you want historical, way back in the medieval times, there's the Doomsday Book. A time traveler is stranded in the middle of the medieval world and has to figure out how to survive there. And it's a great look at what the country was like then. And then her newer award-winning series, duo, Blackout and All Clear, is one massive novel that she wrote. It had 3,000 pages, and the publisher said, we can't print a 3,000-page book. We have to split this in two. But Blackout and All Clear, they were both award winners, and it's set in World War II London. And it's time travelers who go back to try to save a little artifact, and they get caught up during the Blitz, and they can't escape, and they can't find their way out. And so really enlightening look at that time period.
And for people who like Scotland, again, from the mystery perspective, there's the Riva series by Ian Rankin. That's in Edinburgh. There's Kate Atkinson's Jackson Brodie series, which is also in Edinburgh. And she's also written some historical fiction that takes place in London. That's really good. And if you want to, you know, go across the water to Ireland, there's Maeve Binchy. Mm-hmm. Which isn't mystery, but it's contemporary. Mm-hmm. It's fiction. She's really good on character. She's a really good story. And she really did do a flip of country
song. That was the other Edward Rutherford book that I read. Two books that are about Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Another one in Ireland that I love is Morgan Llewellyn. She did a lot of ancient history type stuff, the founding of Ireland in Bard, and after Rome, the post Roman Celtic period, lots of great stuff on Irish historical figures there as well.
You know, you're actually bringing up something that I didn't even think about to talk about, but I think it's important, is it you don't only want to read contemporary literature from a country, because yes, you're visiting this country now, and that could be very helpful, but I find that reading historical works about a country that I'm about to visit actually is far more enlightening.
Absolutely.
And gives you much more information. It's almost like you get to live in the country as it used to be and then go visit it as it is today. And that brings, you know, when I went to Hong Kong, I read The Piano Teacher.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was set in a far enough distant past, but not very distant past, where all the places are there. But, you know, honestly, we went to the Stanley Cemetery in that Stanley area, and I would have never really understood the significance mm-hmm. of it if I had not read that book. I just did not know that sort of, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, read the book.
Fiction can do for you really good food when you travel. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I love about the Diana Leone series set in Venice, and Rosario Brunetti, is food. She's the reason I drink Prosecco. I drink Prosecco. I remember Prosciutto.
That reminds me of when I read set in Mexico. I want to say it's like Water for Chocolate.
Yes. Okay. It's all about food.
Is that the one where she's like, has the onion on her head?
Yes, so she's all magical realism where she feels the emotions when she's cooking, whatever emotion she's feeling at the time she's cooking, she's imparting it to people who are eating food.
Another one was one of my wife's favorite books is The Food of Love by Anthony Capella, set in Italy, and again, all about food and people there as well.
It's pretty much Italy.
I know. Right. When you think about it. Right. Yeah, it really absolutely.
It's like food ruins and people.
Yeah.
And wine.
And I think we all think about those sort of, you know, memoirs and things that people write about, you know, my time in Tuscany or whatever, those, the very fan, even, Eat, Pray, Love. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, people think of those immediately, but there's other more story based with food and kids books too. You know, you were talking about Venice and one that I read, The Thief Lord, just to me brought Venice to life. And I visited Venice before and it made me want to go back where I had not actually had any interest in wanting to go back there, but she just painted such a beautiful picture of it. And you know, especially at night, and it was so easy to picture it just, and with this, you know, these magical islands that you don't really notice necessarily if you're there for a short period of time.
That's a really good point. Cause I know we looked at, doing my son wanted to do a trip to Italy with school and ended up being too much money. Mm-hmm. but yeah, like if I was going to send him on that, I would definitely make him do something like that.
So we're talking a lot about, other countries, but what about the United States? Are there, you know, some suggestions for either big cities or locations in the United States that, you might have suggestions for?
Well, we keep mentioning Edward Rutherford, and he wrote a great book on New York. E.L. Doctorow is also great for that. His World Fair, set in 1939, one of my favorite people.
Mm-hmm. William Martin. Back Bay, Cape Cod, he's got one on DC, he's got one in New York. Always a little bit of intrigue, a little bit of a mystery involved in.
It's funny how you say he's got one on Cape Cod. It's not actually, it makes it sound like it's a factual book written about Cape Cod, but it's not.
Well,
it's
on the history of Cape Cod.
Okay, but it's a story.
It's a story.
It's a story, yes.
There's the one, the author that just died, that puts the tides.
Pomeroy, for the South. Yeah.
An essential Southern author.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are tours actually in the Lowcountry that cater to his books. I know the Prince of Tides, you can do some tours right from Hilton Head to that one. So.
Charleston's particularly rich. I believe Dorothy has Frank's books are set there.
On the islands outside of Charleston.
And Anne River City writes a lot about that part of the country, and they do a wonderful job. They keep fielding that.
You know who I am, a New Englander? This time of the year, I always turn to Elin Hildebrand. Stories that center around families and women with some sort of conflict that take place in present day.
Nancy Thayer's another one set up there.
Older for maybe an older.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of show notes this time.
Yeah.
Well, and I think Lindsay, you know, just to bring Lindsay into this, she's been very quiet, but didn't you mention that there was a magical realism, was it? Which one was it that was filmed in your area there?
Oh, the Practical Magic.
Was it Practical Magic?
The, Sandra Bullock, she's a witch, and I can't remember the
Practical Magic?
Yeah,
Practical Magic.
Yeah, Alice Hoffman, there you go. So
when I went to visit Josh Moon Station in Savannah, I read Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Oh, yeah.
The thrift store, and it was such a, when we went to Mercer House and we went around down there and went down to the restaurant and there's a part in that story, it was so long ago I can barely remember, but about the guy with the fly.
Oh, with the, on a leash or something like that?
Yeah. And so every time I was down there, I would think of that, but the stories kind of like that, they creep into your head when you're in that location and kind of bring that connection full circle. And, it just made me look, I think I saw Savannah a different way than I definitely would have if I hadn't been immersing myself from all angles.
That's one that I think you read a lot more for character in many ways, that the characters sort of bring the place to life.
But Savannah is
you
all about
characters. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And the people and the land sort of are one. Yeah, exactly.
What do they say? Charleston is the genteel maiden.
Yes.
And Savannah is the crazy aunt.
And she's talking about Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, right? And that fellow wrote a book about Venice that does a really good job. Mm-hmm. And talking about cities that are little spookies, making me think of Winona Ferry, who writes about Salem, Massachusetts, and she's descended from both witches and the people who put them on trial. And mm-hmm. so that's always, she's always taking me back through that history.
The Physic Book of Deliverance Day is written by Catherine Howe, who is a descendant of one of the original witches, and it's historical fiction time slip. They go back and forth. and it just makes you want to just run up to Salem.
Especially on Halloween. Maybe not, because you realize really how big the crowd is.
Rethink that. Yeah. So, do you have any other suggestions? Are there any places that you guys particularly like to read about when you're reading? Are there places that draw you?
How long do you
have? Just a few more minutes.
I get the feeling y'all read a lot.
And I read a lot for place. That's one of the things that will draw me in. You know, if the plot's so, but the sense of place is really good on stage. I really like the series set in Paris by Cara Black. Amy LaDuke, and each one is set in a different neighborhood.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah. So, and the neighborhood's in the title, so murder, here's my terrible
thing. Montparnasse.
Montparnasse,
yeah. And that's actually very cool because that can be very intimidating to a traveler to Paris. You know, all these arrondissements that, you know, all these neighborhoods, and what are they, and where should I stay, and what's in them, and what makes them unique. Really, that's it for France? Really? That's all we got?
For me, it's all the light we cannot see. Oh. Historical fiction. And so, you know, there's a big wave right now of World War II historical fiction. Mm. All the Light We Cannot See is set in St. Malo. The Nightingale is set, not in Normandy, but I want to say Rouen, but I'm not sure.
There's, you know, I read a lot about France, the Peter Mayle series. Mm-hmm. That's southern France. So. But sometimes this happens to librarians, just say, well, what about this kind of book? And I'm itching to go to my computer and type it. And I'll pull them up and go, oh, yeah. Like, I think there's a Defeat's Guide to Paris. That series does a lot of Defeat's Guide to Amsterdam.
I actually think when I went to Amsterdam, you recommended the Good Thief's Guide to Amsterdam when I went there. So
have you been to these places, too?
I've been to Paris. I've been to London. I've been to Germany. I have yet to go to But when I do, I'll be prepared. I'll read up on it.
Yeah. Actually, I almost hesitate to bring this up because the title is not coming to my head, but I read, when I was in Greece and I did a cruise around the islands, and we actually went to Troy, and, you know, we had a little stopover in Turkey, and I read the Marion Zimmer Bradley book, which is called, and it's the retelling of the fall of Troy. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, we could look it up. Dan's getting on his phone right now. It's fire, something, fire, it's not firewall. It was a long, long time ago. But I had found that to be real. Instead of reading like a classic, you know, Greek story, reading a retelling, you know, sort of a reimagining, in that case, from sort of a feminist point of view, it was really told through the voice of Cassandra. And that really brought all of that to life. Because even though it's about the fall of Troy, it's about that whole geographical area.
And I remembered a book about Paris and by Jennifer Donnelly called Revolution. It was the first time I realized that there were these crypts, catacombs under Paris. And Heidi is
the firebrand.
Thank you. It was one of my favorite things about Paris.
The catacombs.
The creepiest thing ever. You cannot be claustrophobic at all.
Yeah.
Where they dug up all the cemeteries in the space, so they actually cataloged all the bones. They're their library. They cataloged all the bones by cemetery. And then they arranged in artful displays. So there's like whole displays.
Did you have to climb down these like really narrow stairs?
Oh
and
my
stuff.
God, you did.
And it's dusty.
You gotta go up
the
stairs to the street level.
I haven't visited that.
Well,
did you go to the catacombs?
Well, no, but Heidi did. What happened was when we got to Paris, you know how you try and do everything that you want to do, and the day we had that perhaps we could do that, it wasn't going to work. And so we ended up doing
it. You need to be there right in the morning, like get a croissant from the little bakery across the street where the line forms, and eat your breakfast in line and look at it. Otherwise, the line can sit here in the black.
The idea of eating right before seeing a whole bunch of skulls is just not...
You need to eat to be able to do all this stuff.
I guess.
you're walking about a mile under the city.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's like for other people, but for me, just knowing that was there added to my experience with Paris.
As we were saying earlier, knowing the history of the place through the books really added to understanding that place. Last week I took a trip to the Outer Banks, and we went to Kitty Hawk and Kill Devil Hills and saw the Wright Brothers Monument and everything, and then see all the pictures and everything, and then to know, like, you know, David McCullough's recent book about the Wright brothers. Not totally sense of place, but having, if you're going to that place, reading that book really adds to that type of experience.
Yeah, I think if you're in the place already, reading a book that's maybe more about character or more about story, but it's set in the same place, can do sort of the same thing, especially if you're already there. Like, I like to read for place to prepare, and then when I'm there, maybe pick something that's set there, but is more, you know, focused on something else, like story or characters. I like to read for character.
We've been talking a lot about cities, but there are also books that are good in natural settings. So the Nevada Bar series, each one is set in a different natural setting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's cool. Sandy loves national parks.
She loves
them. A lot.
And Anna Pigeon always ends up running for her life.
But do you have anything set in Pittsburgh?
I actually have my books set in Pittsburgh.
I'm sure there are some.
There's
The Silver Linings Playbook, isn't that set in Pittsburgh?
Well, I haven't read that, but there's a there's some movies. Pittsburgh has a lot of movies, so I would be...
We're not going to talk about Pittsburgh anymore.
I wasn't the one that brought up Pittsburgh.
I think it's time to go. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you to Dan and Janet for joining us tonight. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for joining us. It was fun.
We've never had a round of applause for, I guess, the On behalf of Sandy, Heidi, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!